Hi, Mike.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Sorry about last night. You should call me when that happens.
I'm sorry.
I said you should call me when I fall asleep, so I'll wake up and get on the class.
Are you talking to me?
Yes, I'm talking to you. There's just
okay, well, I was asleep too. And you know, this is the season of company, and my company usually comes in for a few minutes and they leave. Sometimes they don't even sit down, especially the neighbors and all. Well, for some reason, the last 2 days, they come and they stay for 2 hours. and then I'm running my thing to do my work, and then I fall asleep at 7 o'clock and finish up in this bizarre class. So, anyway, we can laugh.
Yeah, that's the important thing.
Yeah.
All right, why don't we start?
Okay.
Or somebody else will come. We're doing section 54, starting with verse 247. L'shem yifud kudsha b'rifu ishkinte b'itchilu urchimu urchilu urchilu urchimu le'akta shem yudhe b'vavhe b'yichuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael limud Torah mitzvah la'asot Torah mitzvah v'ayim no'am Adonai Eloheinu alinu ma'asei yadenu k'nanei alinu ma'asei yadenu k'nanei. Bao lemezal kamu amar Rabbi Shimon mila hakagaban patach Rabbi Shimon va amar tirei kuae betive ki Hashem Elokecha esh ochla u opti Atam v'atem hadbekim v'Hashem Elokechem chayim kulcham kulchem hayom hanekirae okim na laho v'kama atar v'itaru v'ho havrayayo tachate ki Hashem Elokecha Esh ochla fu ha itmar milada begoy havrayayo tit esha achla esha viakel la veshetse la begin de it esha akifa me esha. When they rose to leave, Rabbi Shimon said, "We have something with us," meaning that he had one more thing to tell them. Rabbi Shimon then said, "Two passages are written. One says, because Hashem your Elohim is a consuming fire, signifying that it is impossible to cleave to him, as it is impossible to cleave to fire. The other says, you who cleave unto Hashem your Elohim are all alive today, signifying that it is possible to cleave to him." These seemingly conflicting passages have been explained repeatedly by those who have tackled them. But come and behold, the verse, because Hashem your Elohim is a consuming fire, the colleagues have discussed that there is a fire that consumes and destroys even fire. Thus, there is a fire that is stronger than normal fire, and that has been explained. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, I don't remember if it was explained, but I took fire to mean passion, and passion for Devakut, you know, wanting to cleave to Hashem.
And that's true. And that's a nice explanation. There's a hint here to the fourth state of matter, what physicists call plasma, as a fire that destroys even fire. We have the three states of matter that we're used to, the solid, the liquid, and the gas. And then there's the fourth state, which is plasma, which is where the gas has been put on fire, so to speak.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that. I just have second grade science. I knew about the solid, liquid, and gas, but I didn't know about the plasma. Would you say that once more? Since it's new to me, I don't know. Maybe we have some other scientists.
We all know matter has three states, which is the solid, the liquid, and the gas. But their science has said there's a fourth state of matter called plasma, which is essentially the gas that becomes heated so hard. And that's like the atmosphere of the sun is referred to as plasma. It's a gas that is on fire.
Okay.
And that... it doesn't put itself out. It just consumes and burns anything else that's around it. Plasma has unusual states. It's a lot of... They're still experimenting with plasma. But what's hinted here in this verse, is about plasma on the physical level. That's one explanation of the verse. Another one, as Hannah said, is that fire represents a passion, and so passion can consume you, or it can allow you to cleave together. And so that's a good explanation of this verse. But we really have not been had explained in the Zohar earlier. But in the Talmud, it explains the idea of a fire stronger than normal fire.
Might be the burning bush, an example of that.
Exactly. That's where the explanation is. Or that's what the explanation is about.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Correct. The burning bush was burning, but it wasn't consuming the bush.
Okay.
I
was wondering if there was a relationship to the plasma in the blood to the explanation that you gave about a state being a fourth state of matter. I don't know enough about that anymore, even though I studied it years ago. It seemed like plasma doesn't look as red as blood. If I'm remembering packs of, I never had a blood transfusion, but I've seen others, and I've seen them when I've given blood, that the different packs, some are red and some are not so red, you know, almost a light colored pink.
It's because they run the blood through a centrifuge, and they're bringing out what's called plaque. It's not plasma, it's plaque.
Okay.
And platelets. So they have red platelets and white platelets, and they're for different purposes to help people for different reasons. But
I remember my father had leukemia, and of course this was maybe 15 years ago, and I guess that's what I'm remembering. And he did need, I think, white cells.
Yes.
So, mm-hmm. Okay.
But what they don't understand, the white cells is where this is the soul, while the red cells is essentially the body component. But the integration of the white and the red in the blood is the process of moving from body to soul. But let's go on.
Okay.
Verse 248. Aval tachate man devae lemin da chachmeta teichuda kadisha istakal b'shal chova tesalka migoy gachlita o migoy botzina. Tidalek deha shalchova la salka ela kaditached bemila gasa. But come and behold, one who wants to learn the wisdom of holy unification must examine the flames arising from a glowing ember or a lit candle, because the flames only rise if coming from a coarse object. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Okay, I've never gotten any further than just the first exercise with the unification meditation, mainly because of the surgeries and, you know, the holidays and birthday and all. And I do know that a candle can be used during that time of the meditation. So is this what's being referred to? I don't understand this object.
This is explaining something that people don't really understand. It's the translation is saying a coarse object. I'm not sure what the word should be, but it's saying that we need to study the light of a candle, or the light, a glowing ember, in order to be able to understand unification, to understand what it means to be unified. By studying the candle, the candle is a mixture. You have the wick and you have the flame. And they're two different components, aren't they? One is fire and one is matter. How can they be together? That's the unwritten question in this pasuk. It's telling us if you want to understand unification, you need to meditate and study how a flame works on a candle, how a flame works, how a glowing ember works. And it's saying that the flames only can rise if what it's rising from is a coarse object. But we don't really know what the real translation of coarse object should be. I'd have to, you know, learn the Aramaic or delve into it in a dictionary.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was strange because, you know, Sunday was Tony's 80th birthday, and I took some pictures of everyone at the table, and then I handed it to my son-in-law, who's much more adept with the iPad and all. And he actually took several pictures straight in a row of Tony blowing the candle. The candle, you know, candle was on fire. We had an 8 and a 0 because we laughed, just said we'd have to have two birthday cakes to fit the 80 candles. And it showed a progression of the, he did one right after another, and the progression of the candle was evident. And the very last picture In fact, everybody commented on it, that you could see blue and white. Just a little bit was left, but there were colors there, and it looked like it was blue and white.
Yeah. And we're going to find as we read through the section that it's going to explain the blue and the white.
Okay. Was the candle different in, say, 2,000 years ago when the Zohar, what would they have used for a candle? They wouldn't have used a candle, a wax candle, I doubt. It probably really was, what, a wick and oil?
They would use wick and oil, like the Hanukkah oil lamps.
And see, I came to do this year. In fact, I set it out today. We had gone to New Orleans last year after Hanukkah, and it was a kosher deli, and they still had Hanukkah things to sell out. And someone walked in and said, "What are you doing buying Hanukkah stuff when Hanukkah's past?" And I said, "Well, you don't live in Lake Charles, Louisiana." And they did have the little glass, the vials with
right.
the pellets and the wicks. And so I bought that. And so I took it out today. So perfect timing. I'll be able to watch them.
Verse 249. Kafatei b'shal chova desalka itirein nechorin ad nechora hivrad naher v'chad nechora v'itached ba'ukma otichla ahu nechora hivraihu Leila v'salka v'yorach mishor utchoteya ahu nehora tikla o'madeihu karsaya lehahu chivra. Come and see. In the rising flame there are two lights. One is a white and luminous light, the other is a blue or black light, to which the white light is linked. The white shining light is higher and direct. Underneath it is the blue or black light, which serves as a pedestal for the white.
Ah, baby.
Questions, comments, or thoughts? You're amazed at that, huh?
Yes.
Now you know why there's blue and white.
Mm-hmm.
The blue is the pedestal for the white. Scientifically, they'll tell you that the blue burns at a different temperature than the white. And they think that's the reason. But, the real question is, why does the flame flicker? Why does it move back and forth?
When?
And Jeanette is telling us it's because of the wind. But if you have no wind, it still flickers.
I have no support.
We'll discover it as we go through this. It's a very long section.
Well, I know when we watch the Hanukkah candles and they're at the very end, you know how it's like the smoke just rises up when it gets very down to the very end. And like you say, there's no wind, but yet it's not straight. It weaves.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
The colors
there, would white would go with Chesed? What would the blue go with Malchut?
Correct.
Or the black? Okay. So white is the pedestal. Is that what we said?
No, Malkut is the pedestal.
Malkut is the pedestal. So Malkut is trying to reach Chesed. In other words, we're moving up the tree.
Well, it depends on your consciousness, and let's read on so you to find that out.
Okay.
Verse 250. Vihahu nechora ivra share iluya veitachidu da bedale mechewe kola had vihahu nechora upa o gavan tikla deihu letata. Hu karsaya dikar lehahu kira vialda razadit kelta. This shining white light spreads over the blue, and the two lights unite to become one. And this black light, or the blue tint underneath it, serves as a throne of glory for the white light. Hence, its appearance is the secret of blue. It is the aspect of the throne of glory, which resembles blue, as is generally known. Questions, comments, thoughts?
I'm rereading it, so.
Understand. It's describing things we don't usually notice.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're meditating on a light, on a candlelight, you don't really notice this.
But I think in studies of even Solomon's throne, and it's not, I think it's linked to the blue, is because my first trip to Israel was like 86 and 1986. And everybody else was in the jewelry room, and I was in this humongous room, which just was nothing but shelves, but every shelf was filled with different Hanukkah menorahs. And there I was trying to choose one. I know there were hundreds of menorahs. And so I thought I was going to try to find one that had as many symbols as I could see on it. And I was looking at that menorah today, the Hanukkah. And it has two lions. It has a crown. It has the Torah, and the doors open on it. And the backside has the kotel. And the letters say these lights are holy, but down at the very bottom is the blue stone. And I thought it had to do with the foundation stone, having to do with the temple of the Throne of Glory.
Well, I'm not sure what is meant, you know, what the designer meant to do, but the question that one can ask from this verse is, why is the throne of glory considered to be blue? And the answer has to do with, why is the sky blue?
Mm-hmm.
If the sun is yellow, why do we see blue in the sky? And by the time we get through this this section, which as I said, was rather lengthy, you're going to understand candles on a very different level.
Okay.
And that's, you know, it's also, there's never a coincidence. There's a reason why we're starting today, but we won't do the rest of it until during Hanukkah. verse 251. V'hai karsaya bar karsaya tikla ukma itachad b'mila achara le'italka tehu mitata v'hahu itarleya le'itachada bin chora This throne of black or bluish light links to something underneath it, so it has something on which to burn. This thing compels it to cling to the white light. Questions, comments, or thoughts?
What separates
it? What separates what?
The white light and the black light.
Maybe they're not separated. Maybe it's your perception. Sees the colors change. It goes from blue to white. And why does it do that?
Well, if we liken ourselves, human beings, to the candle, really, we can't count on anyone else other than Hashem. If we do, it becomes idol worship, whether it's our husbands, whether it's our rabbis, whether it's our best friend.
Cool.
So in that respect, I see us as being candles and Hashem being the white light.
That's why we move when we pray.
Mm-hmm. The davening, right.
Why?
Because we are candles. And when we're connected to God through prayer or through anything, we do move. Because the energy of God is so intense.
I thought it was an act.
It's not an act. It's intuitive. If you're praying properly, you will move. You will rotate. I forget the term they use, but you move your body forward and back.
And it's not an act? They don't do it on purpose?
No, it's not done on purpose.
Like the wailing ball?
It's the way, it's what you know, it happens automatically.
It moves them.
Correct.
I just don't like the whole concept of a wall to go in. Want to put little notes in and, like, you know, got it, pick up and pick. That's all communicated mentally.
And many people do. But other people need that physical connection. And everybody is different.
I find that really so when we either sing or chant. You know, I've learned that since being a student with you, with seeing how you always have attuned to every, whether it's Aramaic or Hebrew, and
yes, correct. Nobody has the tune is what flows out of me.
Mm-hmm.
Each night it's different. Each verse is different. Sometimes it seems similar, but it's not. It's what flows out of me. It's what I'm feeling at that particular time. Let's see if we can finish one more verse quickly. It's a short one also. Verse 252. Vidati kla ukma lezim nim itadar sum ka wichahu. Nechora, chivra, Dialeya laishtane Dialmin deha hibura Utadir aval hai tikla Ishtane li gavavnin Ilain lizimnin Tikla opa Uzimnin sumka. The black and blue light sometimes turns red again, yet the white light above it never changes. It is always white, but the blue changes. It is sometimes blue or black, and sometimes red. Questions, comments, or thoughts?
Do you think it does this because of the person who's lighting the candle, or is this, you know, is it caused because of the consciousness of the person? Or, I mean, we always think of red as being Gevura, strength, and also judgment. So does the candle know how to react to a person's consciousness?
Of course. The answer to that question is yes.
Okay.
But what it's really telling you is you start to read the Sephirot, black is Malchut. Blue is considered Malchut. What's the difference between the black and the blue? The black is Malchut when it's on the left side, or when it's connected to the left column. The blue is when it's closer to move, has moved to the center column. And what is the red? The red is the left column.
Mm-hmm.
So as the Malchut elevates to be more spiritual, it becomes red. When it's blue, it's more to the center column. So the different lights that you perceive, the different colors you perceive in the candle, is relating to your consciousness. And the candle is sensitive to your consciousness because you perceive what you expect to perceive. Remember the spiritual law. Our eyes, all of our senses were created to create the illusion. So they're never telling us the truth, even though we think they are.
Wow, this is a powerful section, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
So to learn more about the candle, what would we need to go Google?
What would you need to go Google?
Mm-hmm.
I would go to WikiLeaks on the word candle and see what's there. And I would also do a Google search for the burning candle.
Okay.
Do you have a question for tonight?
My grandma didn't get anything to go into the Catholic Church and light candles, and she said her wish. Why?
Because you create what you, your consciousness is what creates things.
Wow.
So, Hannah?
But I do see that I'd like to do some research. But I have a lady coming tomorrow that I have to prepare to help her with Hebrews, so I'm not so sure. But, I mean, I will try to make the class to see if anybody does have a question.
Okay.
Has anybody sent you a question yet?
No, not by email. So
okay.
We'll just have to wait and see.
Okay.
Talk to you soon.
Okay, thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.